Mental stability. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Mental stability. All of us feel that we are mentally stable. All of us feel that we are just really wonderful. And we fall far short of being mentally stable. Every one of us is about as stable as as a yo-yo, or what do you call this top? A top that's about ready to stop spinning. You know, it's a wiggling back and forth, and we're all about that stable. Now you say, well, that's not very nice, and that's true. It's not very nice, but it's true. We are about as stable as a top that's beginning to stop. And the reason I say that we are about as stable as the top that's beginning to stop is that every one of us falls 80%, maybe 90% short of what our purpose here is on Earth. Our purpose on Earth is to be ourselves and have fun. Ha, 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 ha. And you say, well, okay, well, how do you be yourself and have fun? How do you get away with it? You know, how do you get away with being yourself and having fun and just, you know, doing your own thing and just having everybody accept you just the way you are? Well, when you do your own thing and you have fun, and what you're doing is having fun for you and delighting you, and you're not doing it to put your finger on anybody else or to poke your finger at somebody else, the moment you do that, you're not having fun. You're not being yourself. If you're running a race, and you're running a race because you want to be better than somebody else, then you're not really running the race. But if you're running the race to see how good you are as a runner, that's the point. Now, if the race has been run in so many minutes and so many seconds before, and you come along and you are going to do your personal best, you do not look around at what anybody else is doing. They may even run past you in the process, but you run at your most professional gait, at your best step, and you run your race as beautifully as you can. No tension, no anxiety, just loping along like an antelope, just as smooth and cool and wonderful as you can be. You're having fun, you're being yourself. But the minute that Ingeborg comes and starts catching up with me, and I say, whoops, I can't let somebody else beat me, you know, so I got to run farther and faster, I'm not running the race. I'm just running against competition. And you say, well, every race is against competition. And that's true. Human races are against competition. But those people who have achieved the greatest and the most wonderful achievements are not those who have achieved in competition with somebody else, even though they call it a competition. Those who have given their very best and who have trained mentally their very best, and they get out and they do whatever the sport is or whatever the activity is themselves. Now, we think that to be ourselves and have fun, if we're successful, we should really be wealthy. We should be healthy. We should be having all the relationships in A1 condition with ourselves, and everything should be going along just beautifully. But that's not the case. Because in a relationship, you're competing with your friend. Whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or wife, or a husband, or whatever you want to have as your boss, you know, or your fellow workers. You're racing against them. You're competing against them. Now, if you would go to work, for instance, and do your work that would just delight you, that you would just fall in love with your work, you'd just feel so happy about doing it, you would do every little nuance of your work perfect, taking a little more time than you should, but doing it just so perfect that everybody, when you got done, said, gee, that's neat, you know. Not that's good or that's better or you're trying to show us up or something, but hey, that's neat. Can you look at me and look me square in the eye? And can you, I got my eyes closed, and can you look me square in the eye and can you say that Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel in competition to somebody else. Or he created David, the great statue he made out of, in competition to somebody else. Or that Leonardo da Vinci did the Last Supper in competition to others that had been done. Or that anyone else of a great artist is in competition with anybody else. You say, oh yes, they're in competition because they want to get a job, they want to get sponsors, and they want to get mentors, and they want to get people to back them up and help them. And no. If you're doing a job so that someone will appreciate it, then you're not doing a good job in the field of art and science. Great composers didn't compose for somebody else. Well, yes, they did. You say they composed for the king, or they composed for the court, they composed for the church. And so, yes, but did they do what the church wanted, or did they do what they wanted? They wrote the music that pleased them, that sparkled them. The church asked them because the church wanted the type of music that they could do. The church didn't want them to do the type of music the church wanted. The church wanted them to do the type of music that they could do. The king wanted the genius of this composer. He didn't want a run-of-the-mill composer. They're available a dime a dozen. But they wanted the best, the absolute best, being themselves and having fun. Now, every great composer, every great artist has gone through some interesting experiences, basically. And the experience that they go through, basically, is that they don't have a lot of money. They do not place great dollar value on their product. They do it because it turns them on, makes them happy. Now, if this artist were living in the country, in a modest house, and doing modest activities and having a modest income, he'd be happy as can be. He would feel that everything is in divine order for him. But because he's living in the city, he's living among his peers, and they're looking at him and saying, you're living in poverty. You don't have a television set. You don't have dancing girls. You don't have going out in the cafe every night. You don't do this. You don't do that. You know, you're in poverty. Well, really? Really, poverty? We call that poverty because we've become accustomed to thinking that these are things that you should have. Everybody, now in America, what do they say about the American family? Every family has three or four cars in their garage because mother and father are working and the teenage kids have to have their cars. They got to get around. Many of the locations where they live are so far out. In the days of Michelangelo, for instance, they could walk wherever they wanted to because nothing was very far away. And when I was in Lachen in Switzerland, I was staying with Felix Eschbacher and Doris. And Doris would say, Herb, would you run over to the butcher shop and get some... and then she gave me a list of things. And then go next door to the cheese shop and get some cheese. And go next door to the bread shop and get some bread. And so it's no big deal. I went cluck, 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 cluck. And there was no big crowd there. There was maybe four or five people. And I got the bread, I got the cheese, I got the meat. And I came back to her house in less than 20 minutes, you know. And it wasn't that far. It was like almost downstairs. And they lived in an apartment house. And so what would they think if they lived out in the country and they had to go miles and miles and miles to the grocer, you know, or to the bread maker or whoever? They would think that was really terrible. So they started making their own bread. They started making their own cheese and their own beef and stuff like that and storing it in their beef locker or whatever, you know. And how do you store beef and keep it fresh when you have no refrigerator? How do you do it? Schnell, tell me.
You cook it.
How do you do it?
Or you cure it.
You what?
You cure it or you cook it.
You cure it or you cook it or you...
You eat it.
You eat it. Yeah, you eat it.
Smoke it.
Yeah, yeah, you smoke it. You have smoked cheese, smoked fish. I'm sorry?
Put it under salt.
Oh, yeah, you put it in a salt batter. There are many ways that you do it without refrigerator. Now, do you think those people felt that they had bad stuff because they had to do it that way? No. they were quite comfortable. But you see, as we get more proficient, we get more reliant on other people to provide our good, and then we need more money, and because we need more money, then we need to have more income coming in, and so it is. But now, when we start being ourselves and having fun, we look at our friends, and we find the good in them, and we find it wonderful to play a game of chess with them, or to play some checkers. We find it wonderful just to be in their presence. We find it wonderful to tell stories to the children in the evening. We find it wonderful to make up and be creative on stories and even write them down and be a Hans Christian Andersen, you know. We find it wonderful just to be ourselves and have fun. And you see, mental stability is out the window because most people nowadays have gotten away from that. They say that there are more people in the institutions or in the world who should be in the institutions than there are in the institutions. And the reason for that is because these are people who are doing their own thing and having fun. Now, what is it that you want to do for yourself? How do you want to build mental stability in yourself? Do you want to build mental stability in yourself by being in competition with your neighbor, your friends, and your different people you know? Well, if that's what you want, go right ahead. There are plenty of people who will put you in competition. And one of Ellen's granddaughters played tennis, and she'd get up there on the tennis court, and she would look at her opponent, and she would look her in the eye and say, "You're not going to win. I am the winner here. You are nothing. You are nothing, nothing, nothing." Well, she did this for quite a while. And then somebody talked to her. And somebody said to her, "You do not have to win by having the other person lose. You win because you are good and because you're having fun and you're doing what makes you pleased." And from that day on, her game of tennis completely changed. She stopped being an aggressive tennis player who had to be out there and win and had to be out there and knock everybody else down. And she was out there being an exquisite tennis player, an exquisite person on the tennis court, where she won because she was exquisite. She didn't play tennis in competition to her partner or her whatever. She won because she was good. Because she knew how to handle the racket. She knew how to handle the ball. She knew how to handle the game. And she went out there and she says, "This is fun. I enjoy myself." And instead of coming home tired as she had done in the previous years, she started coming home with such joy in her heart and such wonder in her heart that she was ready to go out on a date. She was ready to go out on many activities because she was no longer beat, you know, trugging in after a tough tennis game. Well, her uncle noticed how she was playing, and he began picking up on her playing, of her actual genius playing, not just to play because he had to get out there and win, win, win. And then he started to teach his son that way, and they began to have a wonderful relationship. Because the father was not against the son, and the son was not against the father. They were not running in opposition to each other. Each was having fun and being themselves and doing a wonderful job of playing tennis. Now, this happens in all of our lives. When we are being ourselves and having fun, then we are really having the wonderful world of mental stability as our world. You can live in the world of mental instability if you wish. Many people do. And the world of mental instability is where you feel that you have to make things happen. You have to manipulate and control, and you have to be mean to other people. And as the saying goes in the business world, dog eat dog, and you walk on them. And if you're going to walk on your competitor, if you're going to walk on the person who is in your same game and you're going to walk all over them, you're not going to be happy about it. You're going to go home at night and you're going to have heartburn. You're going to go home at night and you're going to have ulcers and cancer. You're going to go home and they say, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" It's because good people act bad. they act like they should win. Why should they win? Why shouldn't everybody win? Why shouldn't everybody enjoy the game and be happy? And you see, when we start having that attitude in our minds, that everybody enjoys the game and everybody's happy. When the father and son began to play together, not in competition to each other, but in delight in each other's talent and ability and skills, the game became much more thrilling to them. They loved to play with each other. Before that, they felt that they were out of each other's league a little bit. But once they began to play with love, the game became a game of love, which tennis is. Now, where are you on your road of mental stability? Do you let the world push you around? Do you let other people set your pattern? Or do you just do everything you do out of love and joy and peace and harmony, feeling good for yourself? Is that what you do? If that's what you do, you've got it made. But if that's not what you do, then you got problems. And you got big problems. And the big problems are not because that you're not going to win or you're not going to lose, but because you're going to feel bad about yourself. And to feel bad about yourself at any time, you try to take it out on others, you try to put other people down because you're feeling bad, and rather than do that, lift other people up when you're feeling bad. And when you do that, wow, you're going to feel so much better, you're going to feel so much more fantastic, because it's what goes on in your world, and it's what makes you feel absolutely wonderful. Well, you all have a nice evening now, and think lovely thoughts, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.